Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, my love. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here yet again and to be sharing on this beautiful topic. I'm really excited and honored to be hosting this. And as we explore each show, we explore different things. We'll explore some meditation, some sinking in, getting in the body, discussion, education, awareness, inquiry onto facets of our sexuality and consciousness that many of us don't get a chance to openly explore. It really is about slowing way down with love and respect, not only for the people in our lives, but for ourselves. And with that compassion for ourselves, honoring that sexuality, that place, which is so often hidden in our shadows or squashed away or misunderstood. So as we continue today, we're going to be exploring in the realm of a topic, which I will share in a moment. And first, I want to invite, as always, a chance to sink in, get in our bodies, and feel for a moment what it's like to be alive. So let's take a moment, and in whatever way you are in this moment, perhaps joining us to breathe. And take a moment to notice your breath. Perhaps inviting in and feeling the quality of breath movement in your body. What's it like to be in a body? What's it like to feel and notice inhales and exhales and witness the qualities of each? Inquire within, what's it like to notice and how does it feel? How do you know in your body that you're inhaling versus exhaling, for example? What are the qualities and how are the sensations indicating that to you? And then inviting an exhale with some sound, if it feels good, to rumble and vibrate and make a little noise, letting go, a little releasing of things that no longer serve. Is there anything you've been gripping onto all day or all week or all year or all life that might want to gently loosen its grip? Let it. By feeling the earth and the ground and the connection you have with the ground center of earth, notice the way you're engaged with that. It might be through chairs or floors or wherever you're connected. And let that exhale invite an awareness of the pathway to letting go of some of that heaviness down to ground. And just notice how that feels. See if it feels any different. Ooh, in your body as you give yourself permission to make that sound and make that connection, and I'll say sort of plug back into the earth. And then delighting in your body, taking a breath in to sort of welcome like, life, yes, more please, vibrancy, I'll take some of that. Inhales for nourishment, for aliveness. And notice and allow your body to receive it. Then perhaps holding the intention of health, healing, and wholeness, new perspectives, new awareness, and shedding away old layers that bind, allowing the naturally blissful essence of self that is you to be present. With a breath of gratitude for taking time for you to listen in to perhaps call in and notice and explore with that breath of gratitude for yourself for taking time for you, gently bringing your awareness wider and back into the space surrounding you. As you gently open the eyes and return to the moment. So now as we head into our topic for today, which is, I'll call it resilience and our sexuality. And we might look at that and go, well, what is that and how are those connected? And that's something I plan to explore today. And how it's come through, what I want to invite or where it's coming from, is I was sitting with what has been very alive for me recently, and the strongest, most powerful message that came coming through was resilience. And I'm like, really? Why? What does that have to do with this? And so I explored it, and as I did, I realized exactly what it has to do with this, at least from my perspective, and I'm going to invite some exploration of that as we go, and also some inquiry into yourselves of how it means and what it means for you. So let me begin with a story that really is what set the stage for all of this nearly a month ago. And that was as I was heading from this deep time of a beautiful training session, a 4-day module where we were going into some really deep modalities of holding space in the body and supporting new possibilities and really listening to innate health and sense of aliveness that our body contains and holds, that wisdom is there. And really what we were inviting was, let's start to listen to that. Let's listen and notice to what our bodies have to say about our innate being. And by holding space, it gives permission for our bodies to reconnect with maybe some of those things that we've forgotten, some of those states of wellness and aliveness that feel really good that maybe don't feel as available. Sometimes it's simply a matter of getting to a place of really grounded clarity so that we can hold the space for that possibility to emerge. And that was a powerful 4 days. And as I was leaving this workshop, something happened, and something very unexpected, something that as I reflected on it later and even in the moment, I couldn't at first quite see. And it's starting to be revealed to me a little bit more and more why it happened. I was driving along and it was heading into storms, but the storms hadn't hit. So it was actually quite clear, a little bit rainy. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, peripheral, in the instant before the impact, was the beautiful body and head of a deer. And this deer, I see only for just a fraction of a second as the left side of his head and neck collides with the windshield of my car. He slammed into the front of the car, and then as I learned later, as I sort of looked at what happened, rolled off the car quite smoothly and bounded away as a nearby eyewitness was able to confirm and share with me. In the moment that it happened, I was overwhelmed with complete grief of, oh my gosh, I have just hurt a deer. Deer is so meaningful to me. It is a sweet, deep totem of gentleness and possibility that I've been walking with for some time. So for me to make this collision with this deer was incredibly impactful. I immediately was in tears. I pulled over to the side of the road. Luckily, everything aligned beautifully for me to have a safe space to pull over. I was physically unharmed in terms of the way the impact happened. My car was pretty impacted, but I was fine. And so I immediately was just able to let go in tears and grief and sorrow. And these eyewitnesses who stopped by came back to see me and to make sure I was okay. And that's the first thing they asked. I rolled down the window and I'm in tears. I'm just pouring out sadness and grief. And they're like, are you okay? I said, yes, I'm fine. The deer. And they said, the deer is fine. The deer bounded away with no problems. And when I looked at my car later, I saw that, in fact, there was very little indication that not much more than a rolling across the side of the vehicle and a bounding away happened. There was no intense sharp edges or anything that the deer came in contact with. So it was quite, the deer rolled away, I think, and bounded off beautifully. I was able to then go through some deep emotional processing, and I just let myself. I had the time and space. I got out very quickly, knew I needed to get out and on the ground. I got out on the earth and just laid on the ground and cried and let it just sort of pour off of me and through me. And as I let all this happen and I gave myself the space, and then I walked back and honored this point where we made contact, and frankly, like, I was able to lay spiritual offerings and just pray of, like, hold space and sing. I sang this beautiful song of loving forgiveness that has been a part of my path that really honored the moment of impact that we had together and honored the how this impact impacted the deer and his life. And as I was singing, the sun came out from the slightly rainy day, and I knew I had let go of what I needed to in that moment. And so as that cleared, and I made my way back into life, and has been still an ongoing process of what emerged from there. I sat with, like, why on earth did this deer and I make impact? And I realized quite early on that the word resilience came in, the word resilience. And I'm like, resilience, yeah, I mean, this deer could have been so much more badly hurt and just rolled right off. And all things considered, I'm okay. My car, yes, it needed some work done to it. And that's going to be okay. It that can be repaired. So there was this sense of everything's going to be okay, despite something that seemed so intensely traumatic. And as I don't think I really realized, so I planted that, like I journaled about it or whatever, and this was nearly a month ago. Since then, the amount of unfolding that has happened in my life around some deep family issues, some deep home issues. We've had one of the largest rains in the last century here in Southeast Michigan that impacted myself and just thousands of people in this area, impacted with homes and cars. Major highways were shut down for some period of time from the flooding that resulted from these rains. And my home was impacted by that. And yet, again, like it was in a way that I could work with it. I could, like, it was manageable. It didn't impact the deep space of my temple, which was a place that was particularly sacred to me. And I was grateful that it wasn't directly impacted. So all of this was happening, and more just kept piling on. Like, this new thing in my family happened, and then this other thing, and then this other thing, and this other thing. And each time I'm trying my best to see the good, like, okay, I can make it through. Okay, we got this. Okay, now this thing needs to go into the shop because that needs, and we're just, I'm swimming in it. And finally, I just have this complete, what I'll call a sort of breakdown experience, in tears and grief and sadness and anger and frustration and all of it. And part of me while I was in it was like, this is just awful and it sucks. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is the discharging. This is the emotional release that I need to let some of this no longer have to walk around with me in my body as I was trying to sort of find my best way through it. So as I was sitting with what this meant for today, I looked up the word resilience. I did a little research, and I want to invite this, starting to weave this together now. The word resilience, when I look it up in terms of, like, formal definitions and such through Wikipedias and dictionaries online, I found a couple aspects, right? There is a quality of resilience in terms of life. So sort of being knocked down by life and coming back stronger than ever is one phrase I saw. The ability to sort of change course and, quote, soldier on. And I want to comment on each of these, actually, as I come back to them. For now, these are the things I found written about resilience. The ability to become strong, healthy, or successful again after something bad happens. And The interesting piece, and my engineering background really liked having this as a reference as well, is that there's a quality for materials, for the quality of deformation of materials that the word resilience can apply to, and that is the ability of a material to absorb energy when it's deformed elastically and release that energy upon unloading. And that is kind of crucial to this whole discussion, and I'm gonna come back to that. Back to the sort of people impact of resilience, there were some factors that psychologists list around things that they've noticed in people who have a high level of resilience. There are some qualities, and the things that they listed were positive attitude, optimism, the ability to regulate emotions, and the ability to see failure as a form of feedback. So all of these things I'm noticing being written, and what I realize as I'm writing and kind of sitting with this is, while I see the intention behind some of these, I have a different way of looking at it, or an additional way of looking at it, or maybe an expanded or different way, I'll just say. And it really comes down to the connection that I feel that resilience has, and the qualities of this with our bodies, and with our bodies and our sexuality. So let's take a moment to kind of make that loop. So some of the things I was seeing around this resilience was a bit of that militant response of like, soldier on, and I can tough it out, and I can be stronger than ever. And yeah, okay, I see where we're going with that. And let me invite this. The analogy of an oak tree for the word resilience. And the oak tree, for an oak tree to have the height and the breadth and the width of its beautiful billowing limbs, and for that to be able to sway in the breeze and move with heavy storms and always kind of come back into a place of balance, that there's this ability to be kind of knocked off center and find center, and that in fact being knocked off center doesn't mean that center was ever lost. There's this quality of presence, of rooted and clear ability to be buoyant and alive. So as I sit with that, and as I've worked with that in my work, I realize there's the connection, right? What the oak tree has is an incredible sense of center, like a strong midline, the midline up that trunk of that tree, and an incredible sense of ground, the taproot and the width and the breadth of that tree that are underneath the ground is just as vast as the territory that we see above the ground. And it's from that incredible plugged-in, grounded clarity of the oak tree that it has the possibility to rise so tall and strong and broad and resilient. And to me, that's the nature of resiliency. So yes, there's strength in resiliency, but there's also fluidity in resiliency. There's buoyancy and aliveness and vibrancy in resiliency. And the taking the analogy of the oak tree, this brings it into a place of, for me, seeing that the qualities there aren't just the oak tree has a good attitude and happy and vibrant, and it does. Actually, those oak trees are pretty darn, you know, wide and brilliant in their presence. Like here I am. I'm, you know, you don't think of an oak tree as being sad. You don't think of an oak tree as being depressed. It's pretty clear and centered. And so to me, what I see in those qualities is this deep possibility of having a connection with itself, with its center. What is its midline of possibility? What is that neutral place from which it can move and be alive? And its connection with the earth, its plugged in grounded nature. And to me, this is the very nature of embodiment, of getting in our bodies and being alive. And as we are in our bodies and alive, that plugged-in nature is a part of that. So I want to come back to that. The other piece, so we're going to come back to the oak tree and resiliency and embodiment and being in our bodies. And the other piece that I mentioned a moment ago around resiliency as defined was the material. Remember, the ability of the material to absorb energy when it's deformed elastically and release that energy upon unloading. And deformation, so what we mean by that, it's like, say you have some piece of metal and you're able to bend it, but when you release it, it comes back to its original state. So that would be like an elastic deformation. Whereas if you bend that piece of metal, but it stays bent, that's a plastic deformation. It moved. The energy was used to actually change the form of the metal. And I think this becomes important because this second piece, release that energy upon unloading. This to me is the nature of what we're talking about with the oak tree or what we're talking about with our bodies. That yes, if we start to take on a tremendous amount of energy, the energy of life, the energy of stress, the energy of all this stuff happening in the world, of cars in the shop and floods in the basement or like all of these things, that if we don't take the moment to go, you know what, I don't have to carry all this and I can release it, I can discharge it, I can deform elastically and then release that upon unloading, right? Like let the load off and let that discharge, then it gets stored in the body if we don't do that. It's that plastic deformation thing. How is that energy moving or changing something in my body that not necessarily feels good or it isn't necessarily such a healthy expression if it's being sort of glommed on. But that if we, through our resiliency, which we have, this is the beauty, we have this, through our resiliency, and I'll invite through these qualities of knowing and connecting with our center and our midline and our body and plugging back into the earth as a safety, as a resource, and as the place from which we can create balance, that in fact is the deep sense of resiliency. And that through that, that is how we can discharge. Through plugging in, literally through plugging into the earth, we can discharge the extra zingy, buzzy, unhealthy energy that doesn't feel so good that we're walking around with. We can plug back into her and let her just carry it away, transmute it, and clear it. So like the oak tree, we can have those deep, if we allow ourselves to reconnect with our deep roots. And this to me has been a part of my journey. I realized I was so disconnected from my roots. I had no sense whatsoever of what it meant to be plugged into the earth. And no sense, no intellectual or cognitive sense to say that I was even in my body. Like the first time my mentor said that to me or indicated this word embodiment or getting in my body, I'm like, well, of course I'm in my body. I'm sitting here talking to you. And yet what I didn't realize was no. I really wasn't fully engaged and tethered into my body in a way that I've now experienced more of. And I'll say it's a journey. Like I'm not saying it's that, oh yeah, there's this final state that I feel so perfectly grounded in my body. But I will say I do feel more grounded in my body than ever before and more alive and more, like I'll say, tethered, connected, the ability to feel safe and alive and trust being here in my body. And that in fact is what resilience is about. That if by being in this connection, by having this connection to center, to ground, that gives us the clarity to also check in what other resources are available. You know, people in our lives or the earth itself, all of these things that we can tap into that are part of our capacity to be a connected human being on this planet and go, you know what, I've got tribe, I've got resources, whether I feel like it's particular people or just the fact that I'm me and I'm alive and I'm here, all of these things can be ways to go, you know what, I got this, I'm capable, and I have the capacity to move through and sway with the intensity of the storms, excuse me, as they pass, the storms being all that life stuff. So getting in the body, getting rooted, connecting, plugging in, to me, these are critical for this sense of resiliency. And I want to take a moment to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue on that topic of expanding this, what's it like to feel in the body and connect with resiliency.
You're listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is August 19th, 2014, and you are listening with Leslie Blackburn and her show, Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to talk with Leslie, give us a call at 646-378-0378.
Thank you, Melanie. So as we explore today, we're continuing with this concept of resilience and the connection with body, and I want to bring that connection with our sexuality. The quality of feeling and connecting with, to me, what the root of resilience is about is coming into that awareness of our center, that, hey, here I am in a body, and oh, by the way, I'm plugged in. I can connect with the earth and connect with the above, the spirit, like, so universe, whether that's simply the vast network of stars and the spaciousness of beyond, or it's some sense of divine, of God, of creator, of spirit, of universe, of other, whatever that may be for you, higher self, this essence that we're not alone, that here we can be not only plugged into a physical body, but also connected with the earth and connected with that spiritual other or that creator other, to me is just the root of finding and connecting with resilience of, like, you know what, I got this. I'm going to make it through. Despite the roars and the tears and the frustrations and the anger, and for me, literally last night, like, just like pouring out in tears and in frustration and feeling it so intensely and feeling it in my face and noticing places in my body where it kind of hurt as I was moving through this energy, and then going, okay, can I let that let go in some way? But recognizing that I could just let it go. Like, I didn't have to plan it out. I didn't have to think about it. I could just cry and scream and let some stuff move. And that really helped a lot as I was able to go, you know what, I don't have to always just find, you know, the way I read in the resiliency definition, sort of finding that optimistic place. Yes, I'm not saying don't be optimistic. I'm not saying don't have, like, this positive attitude that everything's going to be okay. But I think the way that can get misinterpreted is that, oh, we always have to just grin and bear it and kind of put that smile on our face and just be like, yeah, I'm fine, you know, and sort of grit, you know, smile through grit teeth. That is not healthy and not cool. That's what I'm suggesting, to let discharge from the body, so that place of optimism and of light is coming from this really authentic place that says, you know what, it's going to be okay. It sucks right now, and I know it's going to be okay because I feel that and I know it. Instead of just trying to force it through gritted teeth. And that has to do, again, coming into center, coming into ground, and letting this stuff discharge. So what I mean by discharge is emotional release. There are tools and ways to work with letting some of this stuff go. And yeah, you know, I can call them tools and things, and that is true. There are some formal ways, some things to consider as we work with really conscious ways of moving big energy, because frankly, sometimes big energy can be pretty hard to work with. A lot of big anger that's coming out all at once can feel really hard to work with. So there are some principles of, you know, holding yourself in a safe space so that you're not hurting yourself or anyone or anything, ways and tools that help do that. Creating a container and having a witness space that supports that so that you can cleanly move this stuff rather than having it sort of trigger an old traumatic response that causes other things to evolve, which is not so healthy, right? That's the place that the reason anger gets such a bad rap is because to feel angry or push that anger away for so long that when it finally comes out it's often with lack of control and awareness and consciousness, and it's doing unhealthy things and hurtful things. And that is not by any means cool. It's very uncool, very not good, very not healthy. Yet moving it consciously so that it's a discharge from the body and the nervous system can be really helpful. And sometimes I find I need some of that raw discharge stuff before I can settle into places of deep transmutation of what of the layers underneath that. So the stillness practices of meditation and other things that are so valuable and so important to me, I find I've got to move some of the bulk energy first. I've got to clear some of the highly charged stuff before my mind and my body and my emotions can settle into some of the stiller places of those practices that are equally important. They're incredibly important. And I just like to invite that it's okay to have some of the shadowy, dark, rough stuff too. And often I think in our spiritual practice, that gets overlooked. So I'm here to say this is the nature of what I mean about sacred sexuality, that the essence of what is sacred and spiritual and deeply transcendent and powerful can't be separated from that intensely physical sexual place. The two can come together and should, you know, often do come together in a very powerful way. And it's that power, frankly, that is the reason there's often big wedges driven between the two, which is another topic for another day. But so the nature of getting into our deep-rooted body place and trusting that energy, trusting being in our bodies, rather than thinking that they are to be feared or not trusted, which is often the message we're given as we move through this society, that our bodies are not to be trusted. And I'm here to invite the opposite. They are not only to be trusted, but as we gently do trust them and connect with that power, the potential, the potency, the possibility of what emerges is infinite, just absolutely infinite. And part of it gets into let's trust being in here to begin with. So what's it like to be in this body? So bringing that then into this place of sexuality, you know, what is this sacred sexual connection with resiliency? And to me, it's the nature of what we've started to set the stage for here, that by being in our center, allowing ourselves to connect deeply with our roots and connect with our spiritual core, whatever that is, the above, the beyond, the creator. It's geometrically speaking in the body, connecting with an energetic that we have, that there are additional energy centers to our body that are not part, you know, not coincident in our physical body, but in our energetic body. And it's allowing ourselves to sort of connect with, reawaken, and the word is slippery. It's slippery. The word is slippery. Anyway, we can reconnect with these qualities of our energy bodies so that we can activate them, be present and alive in this awareness that we do have this energetic system that is part of us. It's part of us as an infinite being that may not be seen with our physical eyes. And that, so just from a sacred geometry standpoint, the connection with that part of our energetic down into the earth and that part of our energetic that invites the connection with divine, that plugs us back in. And it's very, very, very possible, very real, and very potent as we do. So as we reconnect those roots and reconnect that connection with source, then it's also the willingness, as I touched on, of, yeah, you know, going into that blissful place that we sometimes associate with sex. Like, I want to go into that happy, beautiful, fun, pleasurable place. Often that does require, like, we've got to kind of go through some of the shadowy bits, some of the darkness to step into that light. We can't ignore it. We can't shove it under the rug or try to hide it. But that by allowing ourselves the willingness to see that tough stuff and then again, resilience, right? So see it, but recognize that it isn't going to overtake us, that we have the capacity and the resources. And in fact, we always have, we are always fully resourced for what meets, what we meet in life. You know, what we need to do, we've got the tools to do it. Even when it feels like there's no way. Giving ourselves, trusting that that's the case, frankly, has helped me a lot. And because it'll often be in this place where I'm like, wow, life is feeling really great. I'm feeling so connected in my body. Some new opening has happened. I'm feeling really alive. And that will be the moment or the time where something might come in that isn't so fun and happy and blissful. And that used to really kind of stress me out. Like, oh my gosh, why does it have to happen now? Just as I was feeling blah, blah, blah. And then I'm now I try to see it as, oh, actually, the universe must be thinking that I have resourced myself to a new level of something, you know, of a new gift. I call them gifts, a new gift to be witnessed as a catalyst for some new level of transformation and growth for myself. And by letting myself go, you know what, that's not so awful. Like, I'm willing to let this be a catalyst for change for my body so that I can be in the best place that I can be in each moment. And that's not so bad, as much as, you know, it can feel that way. And certainly, like, for example, in my example of yesterday, in my big tears and snot and roaring and anger and frustration, there was definitely moments where I didn't feel like it was such a gift. And yet, that is exactly, I do acknowledge that's real, that's possible, that through this, I'm going to learn and grow in some way that's going to be really supportive. So that to me is how this gets into now connecting with our sexuality, because our sexuality is that rooty center. Our first and second chakra are our deep sexuality. And I love that literally as I'm saying these words, a male cardinal, a red cardinal, flies in to say hello, that I'm in this place where I can see in some trees in the backyard. And I'm like, how delightful that a male cardinal, this beautiful sign of like, stop and get down into your rooty center, it comes in as I talk about that. So the idea of into first and second chakra, root and sexual center, that is the very nature of what I mean by getting in our bodies, getting plugged into the earth, and inviting that to open through the rest of our energy centers into a place of connection with source as well. Often, though, we've stopped it at first and second. Those are the, you know, we've become aware in our spirituality, perhaps, of opening our heart and speaking our truth, and so this sort of fourth chakra up gets some attention and some opening. Yet, like the oak tree, if we don't let ourselves come down into first and second and really get into that rooted, grounded place, then we don't have the foundation with which to work with the rest of the body in the same way. And when I say this is all a journey, so it's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's just an invitation to go, oh, maybe if I brought some awareness to getting into my pelvis, getting into my root center, letting myself trust being in places like my pelvic floor, which is territory that we often don't talk about, that the essence of empowering ourselves by getting into these places in the body with our awareness, with our physical touch of our own selves, of our bodies, with trusting and opening into connection of touch with other beings, and inviting that by touch and sound and breath and movement and bringing awareness and the energetics to these beautiful, amazing parts of the body, that it helps to remember who we are. In other words, letting ourselves reconnect with the physical parts of our body. And we may not feel so good about that all the time. So literally touching and feeling the shape of legs and feet, of genitals and belly and buttocks, and starting to let, it's like invite the awareness of ourselves into the the awareness and the embodiment of physical form. It's almost like needing to kind of remember, in the traditional word remember, but remember the shape that we are so that we remember. In other words, we are put back together again from sometimes deep stuff. And we have these two qualities we've talked about before, radio show on gender and inviting a new model, and also there's a video that I shared on gender and inviting a new model. I talk about this as well. This concept that we are, you know, we're vast energetic beings in a physical body, in a physical form. So having this awareness that we have an energy body, and in fact there are many. I'm going to simplify it to just say we have an energy body, but there are so many different ways to describe what that is and what they are that different traditions handle it in different ways. So for simplicity, we're going to say we have a physical body, the form of the organism that we're in, the muscle and the bone, and we have an energy body, or many of them, and that the way those line up may not match. So if we're feeling really clearly embodied and present, they may match fairly well. If there's disconnects, if there's places that we're not feeling so happy about, if, for example, in the gender discussion that I shared in those other resources, we may feel like, why do I even have this penis when I'm clearly in the wrong body? Or vice versa, why do I have these breasts or this yoni? Where's my penis? Or where's both? Like, why, you know, some spectrum, there's a whole spectrum, and that's a discussion in gender. But there can be this aspect where we have this sense of disconnection of, as one beautiful set of teachers just shared with me, dysphoria, like body dysphoria or role dysphoria, this nature that I don't quite fit in my body. And this can happen not only with gender, but things like losing a bunch of weight. And I think I noticed this in my journey with weight loss. I had weighed a tremendous amount early on that I lost 50 pounds. But for a long time after that happened, which was, oh gosh, I don't know, it was a long time ago now, like 20 years ago now. But when I first lost that weight, I was in constant fear, like I'm going to do one wrong thing, and I'm suddenly going to re-balloon out into the space that weight took up before. And until I found some balance in that later, I didn't realize until more recently that what I think a little bit of what was happening was my energy body, my astral body, or this energy body, I think was still out in space around me thinking I was bigger. I mean, I still bought clothes that way. I would buy way oversized clothes that didn't fit right because I thought that's what size I was. And I, like, until somebody helped me look in the mirror and actually see that didn't line up, I just didn't see it. It might sound obvious, but it wasn't. It wasn't obvious. And so by what I'm talking about is like letting ourselves get in our body and touch and feel the shape and form of our body with sort of an objective mind of a witness place of like, oh, this forearm has this curve right here, and there's this firmness over here, and there's this shape around the wrist, that you can start to get those two awarenesses to align a little cleaner, perhaps. So for me, as that, I found many things, that's a longer story, but many things found balance for me where I wasn't as freaked out about shifting in weight so strongly, so that now I don't even know how much I weigh. I feel really clean and safe in my body. I don't even check how much I weigh anymore. That isn't a factor for me. Where it used to be all the time, I weighed myself daily, if not just once a day, you know, many times a day sometimes for a while in that era of a couple decades ago. So this point I'm making is as we're touching and feeling parts of the body, it helps us realize we're in here and that they're there and that like this is the body that we're relating to right now. So as we relate to that genitally or pelvically, we might learn new things like, oh, I don't know if this feels exactly what I'm expecting. And that can just start to illuminate things. And I just invite it as inquiry. But I'll often, when I'm working with clients individually or in classes, I'll be inviting people, let's touch our pelvic floor. You know, let's get into contact with the way the pelvic floor, the pubococcygeus muscles, are attached to the bony structure of the pelvis. And inevitably, over and over again, what I find is people go, oh, you know, I can feel it now. Like, oh, and sometimes even noticing differences of feeling more grounded, feeling more connected in their body by simply touching a part of the body that they hadn't touched before. And that's powerful work. And this is something you can take with you to explore for yourself. And certainly work that I can do and support as well. So this nature of our being an energetic being, but being in a physical body, and then that connection of feeling and connected with our physical body, to me is the nature of resiliency. If we aren't plugged in and feeling safe in our bodies, that's when we feel like we can be easily rocked off center. Like one little thing can just sweep us off our feet and we're tumbling through the winds of chaos. And instead, by letting ourselves go, you know what, I'm allowed to be in this body. It's important. I can learn with it. I can love it. And just take it one step at a time. That's that plugged back in experience, to me, is what resiliency is all about. And as we do, it's also about what expanding this beauty in our sexuality is about. Because now we've not only invited, like, oh, I get to be in here in this body, but I also get to, like, flow, you know, relax into that. And so that as I relax into that and as I can let some energy move and flow, then I can invite life in. I can invite vibrancy to move through me. This is that nature of cultivating our sexual arousal or sexual energy, which is different than looking outside of ourselves for something to get us turned on, or, you know, looking for our sexiness or our charged up stuff from something outside, different than cultivating it from within. Now, that said, I'm not saying it's bad to, like, be attracted to someone and have that sort of outside experience be desirable and sexy and arousing, or even working with seeing videos or reading stories and things like this that help sort of spark that charge. And yet, it's all about balance. It's not a good or bad. What's the balance? If you feel like the only way you ever feel any sensation or any sexual aliveness is by having to reach outside you into more and different places to find that turn-on thing, I might invite to slow down for a moment and take a look inside and what could shift there. Because the cultivation, the allowing and feeling sexual charge and energy and delight and vibrancy, that is what aliveness is about. That is what embodiment is about. That's what about being in our body has to do with, is like, if we're not in our body, how can we expect to feel much energy in it, you know, much charge? So what I found in my past was I would, you know, create ways to disconnect and then try to find things outside that would kind of charge me up, turn me on. Like, oh, okay, clearly I have to be turned on for this to work. And it's like, actually, come at it from a different point of view and come in it from an internal way of getting clarity and awareness in the body that invites and allows that juiciness, that charge, that delight to emerge. And that for that to happen, we've got to feel safe. Like the energy, if I liken it to this masculine-feminine balance, and again, my caveat with masculine and feminine, it's not gender. Gender is a whole beautiful spectrum of physical bodies and energetic bodies that range drastically across those spectrums. They're not two buckets. So what I mean by these two words is simply the polarity of balance of what I'll call the masculine space holder that creates the safety of possibility for this feminine, juicy energy to kind of go woo and be present and alive. And that's in all of us, no matter how we identify in the gender spectrum or in the sexual preference spectrum. So this is powerful stuff. And, you know, it all started with this deer who he and I chose to come into relationship in this way, in this intense way, with my car nearly a month ago. And I'm really sending deep blessings to that deer, and knowing that he moved on into wonderful things was good. And definitely I'm feeling the nature of learning some deep stuff from that and from many things that have happened since. So with that, we're going to take another short break, and I'll be back in another moment with a final bit.
joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to contact Leslie, please venture to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, where you can find all of her contact information. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop, available on CD. Have you wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home, with a partner or by yourself, with this audio CD. Order online. See the website. Tantric Energy Touch Workshop on CD is a guided, practical introduction to exploring energy through breath, sound, movement, visualization, and touch. Hold the dates, the 2014-2015 Mystery School Year of Sacred Sexuality class dates are now announced, with details coming soon. See the calendar under offerings for dates and sign up for the newsletter to get announcements as details become available. The best way to get announcements about upcoming classes is to subscribe to the email or newsletter by logging on to the website. Join us at the next Temple Community Gathering, Sunday, September 7th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Curious about Mystery School, the Temple Arts offerings, but are not sure where to start? Join us at a Temple Gathering. This is a regular gathering for seekers at Mystery School of the Temple Arts, getting a chance to connect and discuss openly on sexuality, tantra, consciousness, spirituality, and more. After an opening meditation, we hold a sacred circle, creating a safe space to share and ask questions on intimate topics you didn't think you could talk about. Such a beautiful group forms each time, and I love seeing spirit guide us together. Gathering is free of charge. Donations to support the temple are welcome but not required. Please contact Leslie to RSVP and for location details. For more information, please log on to the website at mysteryofschoolofthetemplearts.com and click under offerings. The Mystery School of the Temple Arts is a private temple studio located in West Dearborn, Michigan.
And I'm realizing that you may not have heard this last piece of my meditation experience. Because I was still muted. Slight technical difficulty. So with that, I'm going to invite a few more breaths, and we're going to probably do a few bits of breathing that I was just inviting that you weren't hearing. So sorry for the gap there, and here we go. Sinking into your body and letting yourself trust who you are. You are authentically beautiful, brilliant. And letting yourself notice and trust and give you that same love and compassion and respect that you would expect or that you would want and desire from others, as well as what you might offer to others. Sometimes it's easier to give that love than to receive it, and especially to receive it from ourselves. So let yourself feel and connect with that. And take a moment to inquire, are there places in your body that are giving you messages? Is it something that maybe you're just noticing for the first time? Is it things that you've seen now and you can see a pattern and that it's been a while and you're just noticing for the first time? Without beating yourself up, just notice it and go, yay, okay, it must be time. It must be time to see this in a different way. And what can I invite? How could I shift? How can I come into that place of resource in my body, my center, my ground, my connection with source, whatever that is for you? Come into that resource so that from that place you are resilient, you have the possibility to work with what flows around you. And then delight in it because you're important. Letting yourself trust who you are, authentically who you are, without having to fit into anybody else's labels or boxes. You get to be fully you. You're valuable, important, and deserve ultimate bliss, pleasure, and delight in life. Let yourself be in your body and trust the messages you hear. And with that, I want to share a breath of gratitude for sharing today. The divine light in me sees and honors the divine light in each of you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us live today with Leslie Blackburn and Sacred Sexuality. If you would like to contact Leslie, please go to mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website www.mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com, which is a temple studio in West Dearborn, Michigan. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a great day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.